Kevin Keith here for the KNS Radio Network. Today we've got Julia Mink with us. She's Rossville Consolidated School Board Representative, District 20. Julia is an incumbent running for re-election. Brent Michaels on the ballot running against her. First off, Julia, I want to thank you for sitting down with me today. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You and I talked a little bit before we went on the air. You've been on the board about three and a half years. Tell us about your experience prior to being on the board and what it's been like being on the board the last couple of years.
Prior to going on to the school board, my husband was on the school board, but that was back in, I'm looking here because I have a list of school board members going back to 1957. He was off the board a couple of years before I ever went on and stuff. So I would hear him talk about different things and stuff that they were dealing with, but I didn't pay a whole bunch of attention to it. I mostly was interested in having football at Rossville because I have three large boys. but yeah, that never came to fruition, and that's, you know, whatever. I don't think it ever will. But anyway, right. I am a registered nurse, and I've been a registered nurse for about 40 years. I have done, my master's is in nursing education. So I kind of know what it's like to be an educator and you know, the need for support, the need for backing, the low pay. I understand all that. So I'm very sympathetic to that. Other than that, just been pretty much just working and taking care of family is what I've done. We built our house probably about 30 years ago. I do have three grown sons. I have six grandchildren. Four of those are in the Rossville School District. I am a graduate of Frankfort High School. Hmm. My dad, however, though, was a Rossville graduate. He would always tell me he wanted my kids to go to Rossville. It was the greatest ever. And I'm like, oh, no, my kids will be Frankfort hot dogs. That's what they will be. And here we are. They've all graduated from Rossville. And I can think of no better community than to ever do that. I don't even think of myself as a hot dog anymore. It's been so many years since I've been gone from there. I'm very, very supportive of Rossville and the tight family atmosphere that we have always had. Mm-hmm. So,
you know,
that's basically.
I've noticed that whether I'm talking to school board members or even going back to when I was interviewing some candidates in the primary, you know, that weren't school board members. That's what everyone talks about, just how Rossville's just that nice little small tight-knit community and just a nice little town. And it sure seems like it.
It very much is. And I'm hoping that it will stay that way. It seems like after COVID hit, there were a lot of changes in personality and dynamics all over the place, not just in the school settings, but just overall and personality seem to be changed. Mm-hmm. So
I know what you're saying, that it is kind of a strange time afterwards. it's
yeah,
kind of
it
one
is.
Of those, you never know if you quite get back there or not. Having an educator background in the nursing aspect of things, I think that would give you a unique perspective, because like you said, you kind of not necessarily know what it's like to be an educator in public schools, but education is education. And I'm sure some of the same challenges are the same in that or public schools.
They're very similar. I think it depends on the background of the school that you're teaching for. I actually worked within a community college and stuff. So it was geared for working adults a lot, where you have Purdue, you have IU, Ball State, you know, all these other colleges and things like that. And a lot of those kids went there straight out of high school. When you're working in a community college, a lot of those people didn't have that same opportunity, but they wanted to make better lives for their families. And so they still had to work, but they were still trying to make it. I really liked working in that setting, just because I have to tell you, when it would come to May for the second year students, especially, the pride that they all had that they made it. And I knew that this was going to make a huge change for them and for their families. And that was great.
Plus, you were probably dealing with people who wanted to be there, right? They wanted to learn, so they were.
That is hugely, was they were there for a reason. And a lot of times I would ask them, how many of you in here are in a relationship? How many of you are in here and have children? That's all of you. Just about all of you are in that same boat. You're not anything unique. If you want to be here and you want to put in the work, will help you to succeed, whatever we can do. And I feel like I tried to do that to help them to become successful. But like education anywhere and stuff, it's just not lucrative. There was no money in it, and it was not ever going to really change that I could make more money going back to the floor.
Right.
But I have still reached out to people that want to go to nursing school and say, hey, if there's anything I can do to help you, all you got to do is reach out, and I'll help you any way I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, there, when we talk about school board members, oftentimes school board seats and candidates are not contested. Oftentimes, that's just because it kind of seems like the way it is. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're contested because a segment of the population may feel that they're not represented, or things aren't being handled the way they should think it should be. And that's a lot of times just a perception, right or wrong. That's, you know, up to the voters to decide. I wanted to talk to you, being an incumbent. It's no secret that there is a coalition that's been created that is wanting to vote you out, vote Joe Hufford out, maybe a couple others, and get some new blood in there, because they feel there's been a rubber stamp of sorts, or not transparent, or a board that's not approachable. And of course, I spoke with Mr. Hufford on this last week at length. I just wanted to get your take on the board, on just a couple things, particularly the board having items on the agenda. And I asked Mr. Hufford about this as well, and it seems like the YouTube videos I've watched and the information I've gathered is you guys kind of discuss things sometimes as things pop up, and you don't want to have nobody wants to have a school board meeting that lasts until 1 o'clock in the morning, so we certainly understand that, but. What can you say to the segment of the population that feels that it is kind of a rubber stamp, that you guys talk about this prior and it's kind of a foregone conclusion when you go to these school board meetings instead of there being a whole lot of discussion?
Well, what I would say to that is that they're given the opportunity. There's a sheet of paper that they actually can fill out and tell us that they want to speak on the matter. A lot of people have made complaints and stuff about the 3-minute clock. When I first started, we never used that 3-minute clock, ever. Mm-hmm. We let people speak on anything that they wanted to for as long as they wanted to. It only became a 3-minute issue and stuff when the meeting seemed to be going off the rails. And we were trying to maintain some level of control over the whole thing, and that it didn't just become just a shout fest and all that. But even then, I've known more than one time and stuff that when people have had something to say, it's gone over the 3 minutes, and we haven't had a problem with that. I would also say that if they have something that they want brought up, they can call the superintendent's office. They can call Joe Hufford. I've known many times when he has taken phone calls from people with concerns, they can call me. Hopefully it won't go to voicemail, but you know, sometimes it does. Sure. But they can leave a voicemail, tell me who they are, what their concern is, and I'll call them back. I don't have a problem with that. I feel sad that they feel like we're unapproachable, because I truly don't see that as being the issue at all.
I know that I told Mr. Hufford this as well last week. I've covered school board meetings all over the state of Indiana for 20, 25 years. And I found it really strange when I found out that Dr. Hanna, being the unelected superintendent, is the one that puts the agenda together. And that's one thing I've heard as well from some parents throughout the Rossville community, that it just seems like he is running the show and he is putting things together, and it's his agenda when it's when you guys are the elected officials Would there be any consideration of maybe you guys putting that together, or is it going to work best with Dr. Hanna continuing to do that?
He might be the one that's putting the PowerPoint together and stuff, but I can tell you that the ideas that go into the PowerPoints and the discussion that goes in it, that is all from all of us. That is not his agenda, whatever. I've listened to the interviews, and the interviews say that we're scared to death of him. I can assure you we are not afraid of him. We have had times where, we have had discussions with him about not being in agreement with things. Not on anything that needs to go before a board or before the community or anything, but I can assure you we're not afraid of him, and we can speak for ourselves, and I am very vocal. I can speak for myself.
I know Mr. Hufford said that Dr. Hanna would probably welcome not having to put together an
I absolutely would
agenda.
agree with that.
And I get what he was saying as well, about how you guys aren't at the school every day, and Dr. Hanna is. And so he is on the front line and is able to talk to the principals and the teachers and whatever, and sees those things much more in 3D and Technicolor, I guess.
Right.
So I certainly understand that.
But I don't have a problem. I can do the PowerPoint. I've done a bazillion of them. I don't have a problem doing it. If they just want to change a face behind who does it, maybe we do need to have something open that they can, up to maybe a week before. I think they still can, but to put in concerns that they have that they want it to be on the agenda. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. We're open to suggestions. Does that mean that we're going to take every suggestion that is made to us? I say we will take it into consideration and see where it goes from there, Because like I said, we're trying to keep everything from going off rail.
Right. I wanted to ask just quickly about, again, some people in the district feeling that Mr. Thompson's firing was a retaliation firing that looked petty on the part of Dr. Hanna. That's not my words. That's some perception of some in the community. It's a done deal. I'm not here to beat the horse. I know he was suspended, then allowed to come back, and some felt that was just kind of like being nice to him to let him come back. And my question is, if you guys or you guys and Dr. Hanna perceived him as being such a threat, thinking that he had hurt a child, why was he even allowed to come back?
Okay, so that's a really good question, and there's a lot of debate out there about our thoughts and processes behind all that. So let me clarify. When the incident happened, it was a perfect storm from day number one of everything that happened on that day. That was not the only event that occurred.
I've heard that
But
too.
what,
I've heard that too. That's
yeah,
fair.
terrible, terrible day. And so we were never privy to exactly what happened, only that there was an incident and only that it had been presented as they are required by law to do, to be handed in to the Department of Children's Services, to Indiana State, and also to the prosecutor. We were not privy to any information. If we asked about it, we were told it's still under investigation. That went on for, gosh, it seemed like forever. I'm saying 6, 7 weeks. I'm not even sure exactly how long, but it was a long time. He was not suspended. He was suspended pending investigation. That investigation had nothing to do with us. We all liked Mr. Thompson. I still like Mr. Thompson. I didn't have a problem with him. We all debated about all that, and it was decided that he was wanting to retire anyway, but this was the class that he had apparently started with. I don't know. I didn't know enough. I'd only been on a couple of years. I was okay with that because, like I said, I liked him. I'd been on committees with him and always liked him, still do. And then a lot of things just started happening. It just got deeper and deeper. And then it was just finally decided that, there was no retaliation on anybody's part. We wanted to keep him with that. I've also heard that we denied him access to the school grounds. We did do that, but we did allow him to meet off grounds, and he did sign the students' diplomas because he started with them. So I don't feel like the whole story has come out. I think it makes it look like we were being mean and vindictive. We were truly, truly trying to make resolutions to move forward in the best interest of the kids that were there still, and to move on. But it didn't, it just seemed like we were just spinning our wheels and not going in any direction at all. So that was why it was decided that we just need to make a break and to move on.
I hadn't heard that he was, what I had heard was that there were a lot of parents upset that he wasn't able to come back for the graduation and be there for those kids, you know, who he had started with in eighth grade or whatever. And
yes, and that part was true, and only because we didn't want it to become a spectacle for the kids, and a showdown, that it was about their graduation day. Mm-hmm. And that was all it was about, was to celebrate with their families. There was nothing, and we knew we had no power, nor would we have ever tried to influence anybody that wanted to invite him to open houses or any of that. He had built up a relationship with them, more power. I think that's awesome.
Right.
But no, we never, that is the only two things that we said, was being on the grounds and attending graduation, and only because we didn't want it to become that show. We
a
just
thing.
Wanted it to be
yeah.
about the kids and the celebration. But he was allowed and met off grounds to sign the diplomas.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that I'd heard too was the retaliation, not at the end of it necessarily, but that is what I heard had started it as something between Dr. Hanna and Mr. Thompson. So I don't know that I had heard that the board per se, you know, you may have been guilty by association just being the board, but I had heard that it was something that initially started with pettiness on the part of Dr. Hanna, frankly, is what I had heard to start that with. So.
And whatever his relationship was with Dr. Hanna, I'm not going to speak on that, but I will say that whatever his relationship was with Terry Thompson, that was between the two of them. That had nothing to do with the board. We took
right.
all that into consideration.
Right.
We made our own decisions whether or not he would stay or not stay. He actually is the one that wrote his own resignation letter. We didn't, I mean, it was a suggestion to him. He didn't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to move forward. But that's not what he did. He filled it out, but then he decided he wanted to rescind it. And we were like, we're trying to move forward
right.
with all that. Because, you know, the cameras were not working that day particularly well. That part of the issue that brought it all to the forefront
right.
wasn't there. We had conflicting stories from witnesses. Some were saying, you know, what they perceived, and the other group was saying on that. So, you know, it's really hard to make a informed decision based on 50 different views.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
So
is it safe to say that you are totally comfortable with Dr. Hanna and you think he is the best person for the job right now in the next couple of years at Rossville Community Schools?
1,000%. I think he's the best person for the job, and I'll tell you exactly why, because I think that you want to know, and I think they want to know too, is that I worked at the hospital for years, and I told Dr. Hanna this. His personality and mine, they're not always in sync,
mm-hmm.
But his left brains, right brains, they're totally different. I don't think like the man thinks. The man is brilliant. And, you know, he is trying his best to keep our teachers working, trying to give them a fair pay, all these things. And there's many times I've gone to work at 6 a.m. and been on the road to drive to the hospital at 20 minutes after 5, and he's already in the office.
Mm-hmm.
He's already crunching numbers. He's trying to come out up with something that's going to save the community. So do I have a support for him? I do. I can't tell you before I was on the board that I was always 100% on his side, because I saw what the community saw. But from this standpoint and stuff, I really think that, he has my support, because I think he does a good job. I think he does a phenomenal job. So that's my take on it.
You know, you mentioned the fair pay, and that's one thing that Mr. Hufford talked about too, is that I wasn't aware that we have what is it, the highest start out as far as a salary in Clinton and Carroll County when it comes to teachers. I think that's
yep.
that's quite a feather in our cap for Rossville.
It's a feather, but we shouldn't get cocky about it because it's still not good. We have teachers that are leaving, and they're not just leaving Rossville. They're leaving the field. They're leaving the field of teaching because there is no money in teaching. There is so much that they deal with on a daily basis. They deal with behaviors. They deal with, I think that they believe that we will support them. However, we can. We are trying to provide mentorship for them. We try to offer them the ability to be able to go to classes and stuff to further enhance themselves.
Like continued education and stuff.
Yeah, I think we can absolutely do better. I think the United States in general can do better by our teachers because they're who are molding the kids that are going to take over when you and I are older, mm-hmm. you know, and they aren't compensated accordingly, I don't think, but we're trying.
Right. You know, you mentioned that they're dealing with a lot of things, and they're dealing with a lot of things that teachers even 20 years ago didn't have to deal with, whether it's realities of just security things, or you mentioned behavioral issues as well that's really come to the forefront over the last 20 years with a lot more diagnosis of ADHD or things like that, whether you believe that or not. But, you know, you also have to deal with, they're dealing with the other outside things like the parents even. And sometimes that can be a challenge. You know,
that
so they're kind of getting it from all sides. It is a tough, thankless job sometimes.
It is. And I've heard lots of parents say, well, you know, things will be a lot different if, you know, law enforcement didn't intervene and let us take care of our kids the way we were brought up. Well, things have changed, you know.
Yeah.
We do the things like they did when even I was a child and stuff. I was definitely not abused by any stretch of the imagination, but I knew what the expectations were in my household.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of sometimes feel like cell phones have become a burden in the fact that it's easier to be on our cell phones than it is to be paying attention to what the kids are doing and what their behaviors are becoming. But back on the teachers and stuff like that, a lot of them, I was reading up on the NEA, which is the National Education Association, and they are saying that the teachers aren't leaving just necessarily because of the money.
Right.
It is a big, big thing, but a lot of them are leaving because of burnout. I think that COVID, again, played a big part of it because they couldn't work one-on-one with the kids because they were in the classrooms, you know, behind masks and plexiglass and, mm-hmm. and all this. You know, that doesn't make it really conducive for a learning experience. And so are we still seeing fallout from that? I don't know. And I don't know how long that'll last if it is. So, mm-hmm.
And some of that's hard to forget. It was almost a traumatic event for some of us.
I really think it was a traumatic event. I think that as a nurse working in the hospital during COVID, I was shocked by the number of kids that were coming into the inpatient with depression and suicidal ideation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's not touching you or yours, you're wrong. Because I think in one day I had three kids that I kept sitting with before they could get them into a facility, which there are not facilities for kids,
right.
Very many,
right.
Deal with some of the thoughts that they have.
Yeah.
And I will say that Rossville does have a group because I've been on committees with Chad Dennison. I was on with Terry Thompson. I've been on with Aaron Dillingham, all those to try to deal with these kids that are red flagging and that are having adaptation struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a really good job.
That's good to know. We've mentioned that you have been on the Rossville Community School Board for about three and a half years. Is there one or two or three things, Julia, that you feel really good about, really proud that you were a part of, or something that you came up with, or something that you and another board member have maybe identified as an issue that needed to be looked at and you got some real progress on?
I won't say that it's been implemented yet, but I've made it known that I would like to see more classes offered to our high school students that can be transferable to the college level, mm-hmm. just because just about any college that you go into, if the kid even wants to go into college, maybe they want to do something with their hands and stuff like that, I support that as well. But just about any kind of secondary education, they're going to have math. They're going to have English. I would love to be able to see them already have that and not have to take that within the college setting, that would be transferable, those credits would be. I think it's great that Rossville has AP. They had AP classes way back when my kids were in school. And I know those classes, I saw their homework and the things that they had to do, and it was hard.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what they're asking. I mean, my third grader would ask me for help with homework, and he'd be like, you have to show your work. And I'm like, I can't show you the work because I don't know how to do subtraction, how you're showing me to do the subtraction.
Right.
Being tested all the time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wish they had a computer class that, you know, we as parents, grandparents could log in to help with tutorials to help get the kids to be successful. But any one certain thing that I've been affiliated with, I'm not specifically, because like I said, it's been 2021 that I started on the board, and last year was kind of, we didn't have a lot of things that we specifically worked on. I think the things that I would say that I'm proud of, and maybe it was late coming to, is having the live stream so that people could actually attend. Because I know for a fact that there are people that work second shift. They can't come to school meetings.
Right.
It wasn't that we were trying to hide anything from them. It was just that we just didn't think about it. We felt like the people that came were the ones that cared and wanted to come. We have changed that mindset. I'm not saying that we're still not open to more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that would come, that, you know, I don't know what November is going to bring. I don't think anybody does, but whatever it does, whoever's on the board, I hope that they'll keep that in mind and stuff. It's been eye-opening for me and stuff that there are people out there that we are a caring community. We care about our kids, and it's also involving in the classrooms, and I hope that stays.
Lastly, Julia, is there one or two, again, or maybe even three things that you see looking out in the future if you are reelected that we need to be aware of as parents and concerned members of the community, that's the future of schools over the next 4, 5, 10 years?
I think the safety of our kids has to be paramount right now. I mean, it seems like at least 6 times a year I hear of a school shooting or something going on. I do think that that's been something that's been addressed actively within the school. The school board, Dr. Hannah, is to making sure that the kids are safe. I can't even tell you how many times I've gone to a school event and the doors are being wide open because they're hot or this, that, and the other and stuff. And it's like that kind of defeats the purpose if we're leaving the doors open. So
Right. That's
only as good as what the plan is that you're trying to implement.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get that with them. And I think that we've gotten maybe a little bit away from closer ties with the community. And I'd love to see that come back, because that's what drew my husband and I here to begin with, for our kids. We wanted that for our kids. I want that for 4 of my 6 grandkids that are in the school system. I want them to be safe first and foremost, and I want them to get a good education. And maintaining the teachers is paramount, and I think doing the mentorship and just trying to be there for them. I don't think that I can just say I'm going to do that in this first year, second, third, 10 years. I think that's going to be an ongoing thing. I don't think that's something that's ever going to die down. I think it's something we're just going to have to keep on working on so that we can retain them, because $45,000 a year in today's economy is not a lot. They've got more month left at the end of their money.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Julia Mink, Rossville Consolidated School Board Representative in District 20, I appreciate you sitting down with me again today, and best of luck on November 5th. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.